That was an amazing speech of many parts. But one part of that speech that was particularly amazing to me was how affirming it was to the work of the people in this room who work on immigrant integration policy. And one of the most affirming speeches I've heard from a member of Congress on that topic. I want to acknowledge that we have been joined by Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota. We are so delighted that you could be with us. And we'll hear from her in just a moment. I'm going to invite Margie McHugh, and I'd also like to invite Brad and Peter Davidson, trustees of the J.M. Kaplan Fund, to the stage. I just want to say a word about Brad and Peter. In addition to being trustees of the fund, they helped us conceive this project. They read the proposals. They sat through, or perhaps better put, suffered, the advisory committee meetings. They've spoken at the ceremonies, they've awarded the trophies, and most importantly, they've awarded the checks to the winners. They've lived this project with us from the very start, and we are deeply, deeply appreciative of your work. We're now going to proceed to the awards ceremony, and we're going to start because we have a fairly brief period of time with the Neighborhood Development Corporation from Minnesota so that we can take full advantage of the Senator's presence.
So it is my great honor and pleasure to be able to introduce Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. She's been serving since 2006 when she became the first woman elected to represent the state in the U.S. Senate. Since arriving in the Senate, she's worked with Democrats and Republicans on legislation on a wide range of issues focused on moving the country forward. She's known for her work on consumer rights, on small business issues, particularly important for our event tonight, she is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee and also a member of the Immigration Subcommittee. And she must be some fan of NDC I think we're lucky that you're in DC this week, even with the Senate being out. But it's just such a pleasure to welcome you to the stage to help us in presenting the E. Pluribus Unum Prize to NDC. Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Thank you so much, Margie. We were laughing, our little group here in front from NDC, about the way you said Minnesota. It sounded like how we say it. We were very excited about that. It is truly great to be here for this wonderful event, to hear the congressman's call to action. Of course, I was sitting here from the Senate perspective, where we are proud of the work that we've done on a bipartisan basis to get that comprehensive bill done, and we hope that we can keep as many elements, the strong elements of the path to citizenship, and all of the other work that we've done in the final bill. I was listening to his story and thinking whenever I speak at immigration events, and I've been doing a lot of it lately because we have some Republican congressmen that we want to get on board in Minnesota, and we actually I did an event on Veterans Day where I found a 99-year-old World War II Hispanic veteran who had come at age 5 to Minnesota and was signed up in World War II, found out that he wasn't legal, he was undocumented, went to Canada. That's how easy it was back then, huh? Went to Canada. He told me he stayed in a nice hotel for one night and then came back in and enlisted and served under General MacArthur in the Pacific. I had him standing next to a 17-year-old who wanted to be in the Air Force, a dreamer, but can't, even under the new rules. And the message there was that the immigrants have served our country every step of the way, and everyone has their story in America. The congressman's story was a great one. My story is a little different of my Slovenian relatives coming over to northern Minnesota because they thought it would be like Slovenia, working underground 1,500 feet in the mines. My grandpa never graduating from high school, saving money in a coffee can so he could send my dad to college. My grandparents on my mom's side coming over from Switzerland, jobs in the Depression, making little Swiss chalets out of wood. That's my story, having a grandpa that was a miner up in northern Minnesota, my dad a newspaper man, my mom a teacher, and now me, United States Senator, the first woman elected in the state of Minnesota. So. And I think we all know that my story, the congressman's story, is not unique. And that's why a lot of the work that I have done on the immigration bill is on that side of making that point and doing things to show that we need to keep bringing people into this country. We need to make it easy for people to stay in this country. And I always like to point out to my Republican friends, if you want to get into arguments about this when you leave, but it is such good statistics to use with our business community. 200 of our 500 Fortune 500 companies were formed by immigrants or kids of immigrants. 90 of them were formed by immigrants themselves, including two in my state. 30% of our U.S. Nobel laureates were born in other countries. And to cut off the flow of people from other countries just is the wrong thing to do for us as a country. And last thing I'd mention, just remember this, $158 billion. As we look at the debt and we go forward on negotiations and getting rid of the sequestration, why does Grover Norquist support the immigration bill in the Senate? Because it reduces our debt by $158 billion in 10 years. So those are things that I don't think we think of. So, as we get to the main focus, and one of the reasons I brought up business is because that is what NDC is all about. We have a strong tradition in our state of leading the way in innovation. Our state is the state that brought the world everything from the pacemaker to the post-it note, and we also have a strong tradition of bringing in new people. We have one of the biggest Somali populations in Minnesota. In fact, the actor in the Captain Phillips movie, right? Yes, I think he's going to be up for an Oscar. A Somali from Minnesota. We also have a very strong Hmong population in our state. And so NDC, over the past 20 years, has focused on these immigrant populations in Minnesota, all of our immigrant populations, has focused on sharing this state spirit of opportunity and making sure it was extended to others. Whether it's providing loans to get startups off the ground or training new business owners in areas like marketing and accounting or transforming area office buildings into small business incubators, NDC is a vital resource for the integration of immigrants in Minneapolis and in the larger Twin Cities. Now, let me give you some examples of the successes. The Tortilla La Perla, which was started by a couple in Minnesota. The NDC helped the Payons write a business plan, obtain financing for a tortilla-making business to serve the growing Latino community in the Twin Cities. They started off with one small production line selling corn tortillas at the Mercado Central and have now grown their business to multiple production lines that also make flour tortillas, tortilla chips, and tostados. They have several locations around the Twin Cities and employ local residents, lifting up entire neighborhood economies. Another of the many immigrant businesses that NDC has helped incubate is Metropolitan Transportation Network. Its founder came to the U.S. in 1992 as a refugee from Ethiopia. Although he had a master's degree from the University of Zimbabwe, he had to work as a hotel dishwasher to put himself through the University of Minnesota. He also drove buses on nights and weekends after graduating and landing a job with the city of Minneapolis. When he was laid off, he decided to start a transportation company with just a taxi and his wife's minivan. Now, 10 years later, with the help of NDC, the company has three locations, more than 200 staff members. That's pretty far with a wife's minivan, okay? And recently won $2.5 million in SBA loans to build a transportation center for its headquarters in Fridley, Minnesota. That's what we're talking about when we talk about immigrant success. Since 1993, NDC has worked to revitalize communities in 25 low-income neighborhoods in St. Paul, Minneapolis. It has trained more than 4,250 entrepreneurs, including nearly 1,500 immigrants. It has provided $10 million in small business financing and 40,000 hours of consulting to small businesses. They count, they keep track of what they're doing, and it makes a difference. It is my honor today to present this award to the founder and president of NDC, Mihailo Tamali. Also here with Mihailo, right in the front row, our NDC's chief financial officer, Toshito Wako, and Daniel Biru, who's an accountant with NDC. Mihailo is a son of World War II refugees, and he grew up on the east side of St. Paul, a culturally diverse neighborhood that prepared him well for immigrant integration and community development work. He graduated from McAllister College and later founded North End Area Revitalization, a community development corporation. In 1993, he founded NDC. He served on the Governor's Minority Small Business Task Force and was on the staff of the Humphrey Institute, co-authoring the first national survey of business incubators. Mihailo is the heart and soul of NDC and has committed his life to lifting up immigrant entrepreneurs and communities. Thank you, Mihailo, and congratulations to you and everyone at NDC on winning this award.
Well, what an unbelievable honor to have Senator Klobuchar here with us tonight and for us to receive this award. I would obviously first like to start by thanking the Kaplan Fund for a fantastic honor that you've given us, and to the Migration Policy Institute for that honor. This is something that we're not very used to, frankly. We kind of stick to our knitting in the Twin Cities and sort of stay there and do what we do. But it's a phenomenal honor. We have a staff of about 25 folks, highly diverse. About half are actual immigrants, actually, or immigrants themselves, two of whom are here today. But this is lifting up our spirit dramatically, and I think in turn the work we do will benefit dramatically from this honor and obviously from the funding from the Kaplan Fund. I wrote down a few comments, which is that we work only in the lowest income neighborhoods of the Twin Cities, and we firmly believe that everybody in these communities have tremendous skills and talents, and that when they develop those talents and are allowed to develop those talents, they lift up not only themselves but their entire community. When we meet an immigrant from Ethiopia, Mexico, or Laos, we don't see the person currently pushing a broom as a janitor struggling to speak English. We see a person who can own that broom and the entire janitorial company. We see the person who can employ 5 or 10 of their neighbors, who can be a role model of entrepreneurship to their kids, and be a board member of their local PTA or church. We see entire commercial districts revitalized through that person, like University Avenue in St. Paul or Lake Street in Minneapolis. We see former dishwashers and taxi drivers growing multi-million dollar ethnic niche food-related, health-related, transportation-related businesses. We see them reducing crime, occupying vacant buildings, and building back the pride in our neighborhoods. We see them as a powerful catalyst for neighborhood revitalization, and we see them bring an understanding about their culture and their history to the general population. We believe immigrant entrepreneurs are a powerful leader in growing integration, in this growing integration movement, and are thrilled to be a part of this movement. Thank you so much for this honor. And if we have 30 seconds left, I'd like to ask Toshidi Wako, our chief financial officer, to step up for 22 seconds.
It's not like the Academy Awards. if they don't play music.
Thank you so much, Mike. And this is a great opportunity and privilege, a great honor for us as immigrants, myself, working with NDC for 12 years and working with so many immigrants in the Twin Cities. It's really a great honor for me, and inside me, I was really feeling how much it is, and I really appreciate. And as a sign of just giving back, immigrants giving back, we just thinking about what should we give back, and in order to say appreciation in my Oromo, from Ethiopia. We always say thank you and we give back. So we just want to say thank you to Migration Institute. And Maji, if you come here, I just come across two Oromo books, and I just want to give it as a sign of thank you, these two books. Thank you so much.
All right, so... Great. Senator Klobuchar, thank you again. We're just so thrilled that you could make it. Great. All right. Perfect. Thank you. All right. So next, I'd like to introduce Carlos Rosario International Public Charter School. There are so many reasons that the Award Selection Committee was impressed with their work, and you heard some of them from Allison today, their model of contextualizing English for occupations, their fantastic support services. Until you meet Sonia, you won't know the sheer power of will and determination that made this organization come back from having lost its funding and really recreated the program and expanded it to all these new campuses. That will and determination is this force of nature, Sonia Gutierrez, and it is my honor and pleasure to welcome her up here as the founder and president of the Carlos Rosario International Public Charter School to join us here now to accept the school's E Pluribus Unum Prize. Welcome, Sonia.
You don't mind if I call three members of my board that are here, and of course, my right and left hand, Alison Kokoros. Alison. Rahim. My son. No, he's not my son. I just want to say to MPI, thank you so very much for this honor. Through my 41 years with this school, we have received many, many, many honors, local, national, and everything. But this is like at the very, very top. We are just so proud. And I want to share this. First of all, I want to say that this award goes to the entire Carlos Rosario family, and there are many staff members here and teachers. Can you stand, please? Yes. Oh, my God. Let me tell you again, ladies and gentlemen, these are the very, very best. I mean, if I have spent 41 years of my life doing this, it's because I have been so highly motivated and moved, first of all, by the immigrants. I met them in 1972 when I started working at a small program with 100 students, and I fell in love with them overnight. I'm from Puerto Rico, so I don't consider myself an immigrant. I've never been through the ordeals and the pain and everything that they go through, but I can feel their pain. From the very first day, I was really taken by their work ethics, the commitment to family, the thing that they don't want any handouts. They just want to work. They just want to learn English. They want to become citizens. They want to get skills. They want to work. They want to contribute to this country. And without them, believe me, I don't think this country would be as great as it is, because this country, after all, is made up of immigrants, right? Let's look into our backgrounds. I come from Puerto Rico, so I'm an American. But, yeah, but let's look at all our backgrounds. And let's look, you know, I have always said, if one day in this city or in this nation all immigrants decide to stop working, the country would come to a standstill. Yes, because, I mean, who's the one that does your yards and construction and everything and takes care of your babies and the restaurants? If you go to the restaurants in this city, all the chefs in the kitchen are from Carlos Rosario. But anyway, it's true. We have the best culinary arts program there is. You know, we have been, our culinary arts program, state of the art at the Sonia Gutierrez, was established with the help of the Culinary Institute of America. Talk about quality. So you want to eat good food, go to our restaurants, because I know there's a lot of you that are from out of town. But anywhere you go, you'll see that our students. So I would like to thank Carmen Ramos, president of our Carlos Rosario Educational Foundation and Mission, LATIC, that with the help also of my chief academic officer, Alison Kokoro's work on this application. Thank you so very much. I also like to thank Dr. Ryan Monroe, Patricio Sanchez, and Mandy Toomis for the support. And I know that the Migration Policy Institute does such critical work ensuring that immigration policies are pragmatic and research-based, and we are excited to be partners with MPI in helping immigrants successfully integrate into the U.S. to become invested, productive members of American societies. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we do in Carlos Rosario. We provide students with the language skills, the job skills they need, and we give them all the support they need to become good American citizens, to pay their taxes every year, and to get good jobs. That's what we do, and we've done that in my 41 years for over, it says here 60-70, we're already in 70,000 students. And Brahim Rawi, give me your hand, my darling. Brahim Rawi is the treasurer of my board. He's from Morocco. I call him my child. I could be his mother. And Brahim came, what was the year, Brahim?
Sorry?
1989 to my school, when I had the old school. And he didn't speak any English. Well, you know what? With our help, today Brahim is vice president of Bank of America. Si se puede. Right, Brahim?
Yes.
And he not only learn English and everything else, but he also speaks Spanish too. He had to for survival in this city. So I told you, for the past 43 years, we have transformed the lives of thousands, and I have been in this school with 41 years. I started when I was 10. I have a whole speech, but, you know, I'm not good at reading this speech. I like to speak from my soul. So I would say to all of you, please, let's stay together in this supporting the immigration reform. It is something that is going to happen. I don't care how many people in Congress are against it. It is going to happen. Our time has come. And either you have a lot of people illegally working, being arrested, sent back to their countries, destroying their families, because that's what we're doing, destroying families. And this has got to stop. We all need to join Congressman Luis Gutierrez, that I'm very proud to say he's Puerto Rican like me. And we just need to work together and make sure that we get immigration reform and make sure that we get more resources to help all those 11 million get integrated and become good American citizens. Thank you very much.
I can promise you that's the shortest speech Sonia has ever given in her entire life. They're excellent even when they're short. Our next award goes to the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition and to its Pathfinding Integration Institute. The Integration Institute, like MIRA, more generally works effectively and works tirelessly at local, state, and even national levels. And to my mind, as somebody who's watched this for a few years, I think that there are few organizations that have used so many strategies so effectively to elevate the issue of immigrant integration. They've done it through their stewardship of the National Immigrant Integration Conference, the fourth conference, I believe it was. They've done it through their advocacy for Massachusetts' influential New Americans Agenda, all 131 recommendations of it. And they've done it through its innovative Immigrant Integration Institute, for which we give you the award today. So I'd like to turn the floor over to Ava Malone. As you've heard, MIRA's eloquent and enormously effective executive director.
Thank you so much, Michael, for that generous introduction. I am truly honored to accept the 2013 Pluribus Unum Award on behalf of my colleagues at MIRA, the New Americans Integration Institute. And I first want to start by thanking the committee for their vote, going over 500 applications. It's not an easy task, so my deepest thanks for supporting the work of MIRA and the Institute as we create and strengthen economic, social, and civic integration pathways for Massachusetts' 1 million foreign-born. My deepest thanks to Suzette Brooks Masters and J.M. Kaplan Fund for their generosity and vision, and to MPI for the remarkable work that they do and for sponsoring this wonderful yearly award. The Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition is the largest institution in New England with a very active membership of 150 institutions that it's responsible for securing $43 million in immigrant integration. Our institute, as you heard, was founded in 2011 with the support of the Boston Foundation and draws on MIRA's long-standing strength in both policy analysis and advocacy to combine a think tank function with on-the-ground integration projects and institutional partnership. While enhancing awareness of the contribution of immigrants in our state and our nation, the Institute also seeks to directly shape integration programs and policies at the state and local level. The American Agenda in 2008 and 2009, MIRA provided a major role in leading the community engagement process that was vital in producing the most comprehensive state policy platforms on immigrant integration in the United States. The Institute builds on and expands this agenda, looking to areas where we can make impact at the local levels, areas such as reducing naturalization barriers, promoting immigrant entrepreneurship, easing the integration of immigrant professionals, and open access to education from pre-K to post-secondary education. Much as if the work is done in conjunction with a progressive state administration and a visionary governor such as Deval Patrick and with other nonprofit businesses. For example, our professional integration initiative, also generally supported by J.M. Kaplan Fund, has worked to convene senior policymakers and force policy changes at the state agency and licensing board levels. Together with these stakeholders, we are building bridges across a crucial gap in our system, allowing the foreign-born professionals to continue working to the best of their abilities in our highly tech-driven economy. As we work to develop and support local programs and partners, we also seek to shape and institutionalize changes directly. Our 2011 launch coincided with the Governor's Declaration of Immigrant Entrepreneurship Month in October, a yearly event now that has become the starting point for program gatherings and media outreach throughout the year, ranging from recent op-eds to the importance of immigrant entrepreneurs to a series of information gathering events we convened with immigrant entrepreneurs ranging from bodega owners to biotech leaders. Perhaps one of our most direct one-on-one impact is through the Institute's statewide citizenship campaign to help thousands of eligible green card holders to attain the ultimate civic goal through large-scale clinics held in immigrants' own towns and neighborhoods. I'm happy to share with you that our Institute model was replicated in Illinois and highlighted nationally and internationally at various transatlantic dialogues. The Institute also took the lead in developing the integration principles on behalf of the National Partnership for New Americans, which Mira co-chairs. These principles became the guiding document for the integration title of the Senate bill that passed last summer. Finally, through the Institute's Early Education Project, we partner with state and community organizations to offer training through Massachusetts on the challenges facing immigrant and refugee families and children in early education care setting. These trainings are quickly getting our state early education and care providers and agency leads to highlight the need of foreign-born and dual-language learner children, now almost a third all children under six in Massachusetts. Before closing, I want to give my deepest thanks to the MIRA staff and also our talented director of the New Americans Institute, Jeff Gross. Please join me to receive this award. And also many awards to the MIRA staff who cannot be here today, and Sharon Irwin and my board of directors. This award is theirs above all. So Jeff, please join me. And in closing, I want to extend my deepest thanks to J.M. Kaplan Fund and to Suzette and MPI, not just on my behalf, but on behalf, and not just on behalf of MIRA, but on behalf of 1 million foreign-born in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This acknowledgement, it is an acknowledgement on the contribution of them and the contribution of immigrants. So my deepest thanks to all of you. This is a great inspiration for our work.
We are delighted to give our third E Pluribus Unum Prize Corporate Leadership Award to Kaiser Permanente Health System. It's one of the largest, it's one of the most innovative, no, I think it probably is the most innovative health system when it comes, large health system when it comes to language and cultural competence and access. Today has been too statistic-free for my taste, so let me just say that this award couldn't be more timely, because a quarter of those who will be newly covered under the ACA are themselves English language learners. So it's going to be critically, this program is important, and it will only grow in importance over time. Accepting the award is Gail Tang. Gail is a registered nurse and serves, I think, only reluctantly as the Director of National Diversity and Inclusion at Kaiser Permanente. She's been the principal architect of many of Kaiser's innovations in language access, and her work has been pivotal in setting industry standards and influencing public policy. She was recently named Women Making History Award winner by the San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women, and we will present the award now to Kaiser Permanente.
Thank you very much, Michael, and really thank you for MPI for this award and J.M. Kaplan Fund. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to receive the E Pluribus Unum Corporate Leadership Award on behalf of Kaiser Permanente. We are humbled and appreciative of this acknowledgement, as it uniquely recognizes the vital role that organizations, specifically healthcare organizations, play in immigrant integration. The history of Kaiser Permanente tells part of our journey in this work and speaks to the deliberate practice of integration and inclusion through our principles, policies, and actions. For example, our founders, Henry J. Kaiser and Dr. Sidney Garfield, made a bold decision from the outset to not segregate its hospitals when the opposite was practiced across the country. Our founders' courageous leadership in this space preceded the Civil Rights Act of 1964. We are proud to say that our leadership has continued with this practice of path-making. When there has been no road, the road has been made by walking. Our work in language access has spanned decades and began when there was a dearth of evidence about the role of language and culture and its impact on equitable access, care, and outcomes. We were guided by Kaiser Permanente's mission, our core values, and strong commitment to diversity and inclusion. Today, there is a plethora of evidence that show language and cultural barriers can lead to problems such as delay or denial of services, issues with medication management, underutilization of preventative health care, or overutilization of unnecessary diagnostics and treatment. These types of problems, if not managed proactively and managed well, can be costly to the patient's health and costly to any organization and costly to the community. Kaiser Permanente is privileged to be in the lives of 9.1 million members and growing in 8 states and the District of Columbia. Our patients and members speak more than 150 languages and represent close to 300 ethnic groups from all over the world. Our workforce mirrors this diversity through its rich cultural and linguistic teams of physicians, staff, and administrators who aim to provide high-quality, safe, patient, and family-centered and affordable health care to everyone. The fundamental premise of this work has been centered on ensuring that the patient, member, family, and community are partners in their health care. This can only happen if there is effective communication and quality interactions, and when we are able to serve them holistically, coming from a place of openness, inquiry, and understanding. Our goal is to create a culture that encourages everyone to bring themselves fully to each encounter. One of the initiatives recognized by this award is our member demographic data collection, in which we have moved the organization and others to ask patients who they are from their perspective, promoting the gold standard of data collection, which is self-identification, and leveraging the power of our electronic medical record with data fields to capture our members' language preference when they come and seek health care. Their specific ethnicity, or call granular ethnicity for some, that goes beyond our social and political construct of race and ethnicity in this country. We also want to hear about their country of birth, religion, and other personal information. A robust member demographic data collection strategy has served as a platform to launch and sustain programs like the Qualified Bilingual Staff Model and Program and the Clinician Cultural and Linguistic Assessment Initiative, which capitalize on existing workforce diversity and ensure that qualified linguistic services and culturally competent and relevant healthcare are delivered in a cost-effective and operationally efficient manner. Both programs have been adopted by 48 healthcare organizations outside of Kaiser Permanente, helping to set industry standards. In my closing, we share this award with our partners, who have extended the reach of this work beyond geographies, transforming all of us, Kaiser Permanente, its collaborators, and the marketplace. This award comes at a critical juncture in our nation's history. It encourages Kaiser Permanente and others to continue to be bold in our thinking, to be innovative in our approaches, to understand those we are so privileged to serve, and promote synergies and collaboration with organizations across industries and geographic areas within the United States and internationally. This is not a one-woman's job, and it's not a one-man's job or one-person's job. It takes a lot of people in the organization, and we have a few of those people in the audience today, and I would really like to bring them up to join me in accepting this award. My boss, Dr. Ronald Copeland, if I can ask you to come up. He is our Chief Diversity Inclusion Officer. Dr. Susan Licka-Johnson, please come up. Dr. Ted Eaton, please come up if you're still in the room. Dr. Maia Jackson, please come up. Marcos Pesquera, our partner, please come up. Is Cecilia Rodriguez in the room? Anyone else that I missed from Kaiser Permanente and our community partner, please come up and join us in accepting this award.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Brad Davidson. I'm one of the two trustees of the Kaplan Fund here today. The other is Peter Davidson, my younger brother, although he's taller than I am. Michael and Margie, I want to thank you for the honor of being the very last speaker before people can go to the open bar. That's about as funny as I get right there. I promise to be succinct, but I'd like the remarks I'm going to make be those of acknowledgement for this program, because you may or may not be aware of this, but the Kaplan Fund has sponsored the E Pluribus Unum Awards for 5 years. This is the last year of our sponsorship, and it's a bittersweet time for us. I would like us to acknowledge not only today's winners, this year's winners, but in your program, you saw the array of all of the award winners during the life of this program. I think it's an exemplary group of people, and I think we should all give a round of applause for all of them. They didn't show up in the program, but the fact that there were 500 applicants this year and equivalent amounts in prior years gives you a sense of the extraordinary energy and activity that's taking place in our country. They don't often get acknowledged, but I think those people in this room owe a round of applause to all of those who didn't make it to the program, to the podium. Another group that has been acknowledged, but I cannot tell you the work they did, is the selection committee that spent days, literally days, sifting through these incredible applications and making the tough choices to pick them. So those members of the selection committee are here. Please stand and be acknowledged, if anybody. Please give them. You know, the Migration Policy Institute and the Kaplan Fund have come to work very closely together over the past several years. I tip my cap to Michael and Margie, who've been acknowledged. Dimitri Papadimitris, who's not here today, has also been doing yeoman service. Michelle Mittelstadt is somewhere out there. But I think we owe a round of applause to these people for pulling off a tremendous event and a tremendous program. Last and certainly not least among the people we appreciate is Suzette Brooks Masters, the program manager at the Kaplan Fund, who's kind of kicked the trustees in the pants over the years and said, you guys have to focus on this area, which we've done to our tremendous benefit. And I think the support that the community and the kind of our niche has developed is evidence that Suzette's focus and instincts are just unerring. Thank you, Suzette. You You know, Congressman Gutierrez gave just a hell of a speech. I'm glad I was originally scheduled to speak after him. I'm very appreciative. I had a little hiatus. But as we all know, he was referencing the Declaration of Independence. I would like to close with kind of an allusion to another wonderful American document, the Gettysburg Address. This is the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And I'd like to paraphrase one of the sentiments that the president made at that time, where Lincoln said, and I quote, "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us." And as our program draws to a close, as we think about the great progress we've made over the last 5 years, even though there is still political contention, and even though there are still hurdles in the way of that day where America is welcoming to any person anywhere in the world who wants to come here and create a better life for themselves, for their family, and their community, until that day, I think we should take this event and these efforts and rededicate ourselves to making sure that we do not rest until that day is realized. Thank you very much. And for closing remarks, Martin.
So poor Brad is usually the one standing in the way of people getting their food and their drinks. This year it's me. So I will be very brief. I had always intended to be anyway. But we thought that that there were just a few things that needed to be said since this is a transition year for us with the program. First of all, it just has been a remarkable 5 years. I think that when we first started the program and first had one of these events, we were so nervous, not knowing, you know, who would come? Who even identified in the D.C. policy circles as having an interest in immigrant integration issues? So many. My work had originally been in New York for about 15 years, and it's a much more kind of common concept at the local level, but really it was practically absent from any sort of federal policy conversations. And so we just love the Kaplan Fund for being themselves so bold and really taking a big bet. I mean, they're a small foundation. This was a big bet for them to put this kind of money up. And I love that from the very beginning, one of the things they said was that they wanted people to scratch their heads and say, $50,000 for immigrant integration? Hey, what is immigrant integration? You know, that it would make people really think, wow, you know, somebody, people out there are really valuing this. What is it? And I think that it really has had that effect. We are in such a different place than we were 5 years ago. And, of course, it wasn't just this prizes program, but I think that pretty much everyone in the field will agree that this prize really did help set create an identity for the immigrant integration field at the national level, that it helped to define what we mean by immigrant integration, that while citizenship is incredibly important, that it includes all these other things that are involved in trying to help immigrants and their children succeed, how to knit new communities at the local level, and that a lot of that it has been that we've had the chance to recognize almost 25 organizations over the life of this project, and that it really has had that sort of a ripple effect, both in terms of these national issues and also we hope a real benefit to the programs that are doing such amazing work and deserve a lot more awards like these, but they just happen to not be out there. The other thing that I wanted to say was that part of what we wanted to do and why we so valued the partnership with J.M. Kaplan Fund around this was that we really do believe that there needs to be a much more intentional federal immigration policy, that we do need to push ourselves a lot harder to be thinking about what sort of brain circuitry do we need to develop at the national level that will help us understand the cross-cutting nature of immigrant integration issues, what it means for policy and practice. And we're just so happy that that is one of the things that has come from this whole sort of lift that's happened under immigrant integration issues over the last several years, I really don't think we would have thought 5 years ago that we'd be talking about federal legislation that now includes a national office on new Americans, that is, and that we have a real push to place that in the White House and to have that have real staff and to have it have some of the what it really needs in order to make these issues get the sort of traction that they need. So as part of just finishing that thank you, I also want to make sure to say a word of thanks also to Suzette Brooks Masters. She was honored at the National Immigrant Integration Conference that happened just a few weeks ago in Miami, Florida. And I was privileged to be part of the presentation to her then. And one of the things that I do think has been so important about her, we were saying how so many people, there's a way that we talk about people who help other people to be their best self. And I feel that Suzette is someone who has helped so many organizations that are trying to do this work to be the best organization that they can be, to think big, to work hard, to really not be bound by what has been before. And I think that really is what all of this integration work is about. So the other final thing I wanted to say was just to acknowledge that there are many of you in this audience that are our partners here in Washington, D.C., trying to move forward this work. And I know that it's a journey that we're all on. Everybody's been looking at their organization, trying to figure out what are the implications of immigrant integration policy issues for their agenda. It's really not necessarily what they had been focused on. It's been a big issue to try and figure out where this fits in the overall immigrant rights movement and how to have a lot of leaders in that movement really embrace this as part of what they're pushing forward. So I just want to say that we recognize that and are so proud to have so many partners who are doing such incredible work on this in the DC space. And that really is one of the other things that has changed over the last 5 years. And it's just a great, great outcome for this effort. So with that said, I would just like to say that in this next year, it's not exactly that the program is over. The way we're thinking about it is that we're taking a pause. We have gotten so many great applications, heard about so much important work, really want to look at all of that work and figure out how to leverage it, get the word out there more nationally, and try to get more traction from what we already know. And then if the time comes around again where it feels like it'll really make a difference, to be running the prizes program again, you know, maybe that might be a few years after immigration reform or something like that, that we might resurrect it. But that for now, we felt that we just had so much that we still needed to do from everything we've learned over the last 5 years, and we really understand that this has been, it was only meant to be 3 years with the Kaplan Fund. It was amazing that they extended it to five, and we still feel like we have work to do from those 5 years. So we're really looking forward to doing that, and welcome any sort of questions or involvement from all of you as we shape our thinking about that. So with that, please join me. Oh, in one last round of applause, we forgot to mention our fabulous events coordinator, Lisa Dixon, and the other members of our communications team. Thank you to everybody.
For more information about MPI's work on immigrant integration, please visit www.integrationawards.org.